Before we read the Bible, and I just want to introduce some thoughts today. I turned 60 years old last week. I have been celebrating Christmas ever since I was a little baby, almost six decades. And if we're not careful, things can become routine, can't they? Things that ought to be special to us might not be quite so special. I'll tell you kind of a fun story. I was driving down the road Friday. I'd left Jeremy Bronow's house, and I was heading back towards my house, and I was driving down Estrella Parkway, and I was stopped at the stoplight there. I was heading north, and right there before you get to Walmart, there's a couple of stoplights, and I was sitting there at the stoplight, and I was doing a bad thing. Turn the tape off real quick, if you would. I was talking on my cell phone. I was talking to my son, and my son in Florida, Zachary, and I was talking to him, and I forgot what we were talking about, but he was traveling, he was flying, and so I was just chit-chat, nothing special, and sitting there at the stoplight, and all of a sudden, wham, a car hit me from behind real hard, and it's not a big deal. Jeremy Bronow assures me he can get it fixed for no problem, and the young man was 20 years old, and his name was Caleb, and He did not know the Lord as his Savior. And I got a good chance to witness to him. And I did. And pray he'd get saved. He wasn't quite ready yet, but I got a chance to witness to him. But the funny thing is, when he hit me, I was on the phone with my son. And so I just said, I've been run over. I got to go. And I hung up. Now you can imagine the connotations of that, right? Little did I know that probably all the cell towers in town, the text messages were flooding in, because now my entire family is convinced I was walking down the road and got hit by a car. I thought the Lord was in it, and I'll tell you why, because it was a blessing to me to know that that my family cares about me enough that if I got hit by a car, they would worry about me. And it just kind of encouraged me a little bit that this outpouring of concern. Now, I didn't get anything from Levi at all right? So he was thinking, finally. And no, but isn't it good to know that folks love you? Don't you think the Lord ought to know that we love him? You see, when I read these verses this morning, this Christmas story, this is what God did for us. I think when you get to heaven, and you know, we can talk about the theology of that some other day, but when you step into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in a place that is absolutely free of sin, the Bible says that God's will is done in heaven. We should pray it's done on earth as well. And when you step into a place like heaven, the beauty and the perfection, no pain, no suffering, none of the things that plague us here in this world, you'd never want to leave that place, would you? And yet the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven to come and die for our sins. He left heaven to come and to be rejected by men. And he knew full well what was about to happen. He knew exactly what his purpose was. In fact, he knew the very day and the very hour when he would be crucified, so much so that as he was walking on the earth, there were some times when folks began to try to take him before the time, and he would slip away, because there was a specific prophesied day when he was going to die and pay for our sins and rise again the third day. These are things that God did for you because he loves you. And I would encourage you, as you listen to this, this is an easy message for you to hear, because most messages are what we call sermons, which means that there's action involved on your part. There's something that the sermon should lead us to do. Today, I just want you to enjoy worshiping God, recognizing what he's done for you. And folks, if you recognize that, a natural response will be to love him. And if you love him, then you will do some things for him. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I can't read the entire passage for the sake of time, but we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. And I'll read down to about the end of the chapter and have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing it was to listen to the choir sing, the blessing it was to listen to the children sing in Sunday school, the blessing it is to assemble, even the freedom we have to assemble, but especially to come to a place to where we know that you promise that where we're gathered together in your name, you're there in the midst. And Lord Jesus, thank you for that. Thank you for your word that you've given us, precious and pure and perfect. And thank you today that we are able to just take a few moments and look into that word and be encouraged by it. Father, we can't even begin to comprehend the love that you had for us, that you would send your son to die on the cross and pay for our sins. And Lord, help it never to become a routine thing to us. Help Christmas never to become ordinary. Help us to remember the love you've shown us. And God, I pray you'd help us stir up in our hearts a love towards you. God, I pray you'd bless our time together these next few moments and give me the very words you want me to say according to your will, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a few things that I'll point out here in these verses here at the end of Matthew chapter 1. And the first one has to do with Joseph. You know, so often when we read things in the Bible, we may forget that this is the very word of God. Amen? This is exactly what God has to say. And he is saying that to us for a purpose. And Joseph finds himself in a terrible dilemma, I think, because as he was espoused, Mary was espoused to him. In other words, and I won't go through all the details of the Hebrew tradition, but there was a promise made that Mary was going to be the wife of Joseph. And in this making of this promise, obviously, fidelity, obviously faithfulness to him was a part of that promise. And you can imagine his excitement as a young man. He's getting married to this girl that he loves, and it is just exactly what they had hoped for. And then all of a sudden, she's going to have a baby. She's with child, as the Bible says. And having been right before God, he knew it wasn't his child. And now what do you do? You know, we see these kind of situations in our life all the time. You did what was right, and things didn't go according to plan. You did what you could to honor God and to be what you ought to be for him, and then it seems like something goes wrong. And folks, I can remind you that when things go wrong, maybe that's our opinion, not God's opinion. You see, you got to remember something. In Joseph's opinion, this was a catastrophe. In God's opinion, this was according to plan. Amen? We serve a God that's that way. You might ask yourself the question someday, how did you hear the gospel and get saved? Wasn't it an amazing thing that someone came and brought the gospel to you? And that you received Christ as your Savior, that you even got to hear the gospel? There are people around the world today waiting for a missionary to bring them the gospel. And you and I live in a land where, I don't know about you, but when I was a child, there were a number of gospel preaching churches in the town where I lived. And I heard the gospel every Sunday. We take that for granted. But God had a plan. Joseph had a plan to get married to Mary and to be a carpenter and Nazareth. Everything seemed to be all destroyed by this unexpected event. But folks, in your life, when unexpected events come along, it's God's plan. We can trust Him. Amen? Now, there comes a time to trust Him, and it was right here in this passage, if you will. In verse 19, he's going to do the best he can to be kind to her. He's not going to make a fuss or do this in a public way. They were just going to kind of go their separate ways. And I'm sure his heart was broken. I'm sure that he didn't understand. And there's a good time when you don't understand and when your heart is broken, there's a good time to trust God. Amen? So look what happens in verse 20. While he thought on these things, I got to stop right there. Don't we spend a lot of time thinking about things? Ever wake up in the middle of the night thinking about things? How could God let this happen? Or why is it this way? I don't understand. It just doesn't seem right. Joseph was thinking about it. Folks, God never had to think about anything. He already knew what he was going to do. And in your life and in mine, God is not contemplating the next step. God knows the next step already. And so Joseph, he's thinking about these things. God's plan is going perfectly at this point in time, but Joseph's unaware of that. So here's what I like in verse 20. The Bible says, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not." Let's just stop right there for a minute. First of all, of course, in the Bible, an angel's a messenger. I would tell you this. We live in a day where we have the Word of God. And so I don't depend on my dreams anymore. I depend on written Scripture. Amen. But can you not get answers from the Bible? Amen? And I've had some dreams that impressed me, but I've had some dreams that didn't make any sense either. And that's just not the way God works in our day so much. But God will come to us, and He will. In fact, you could say in some extent that this is an angel. This is a messenger from God. This is a message from God. So God came, sent a messenger to Joseph. In the very first two words, fear not. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you afraid of? There's some things we're afraid of, aren't there? We're afraid of what's going to happen. It's kind of funny how we can sit here today and we have all the things that we need. We have provision. We're doing pretty fine right now, but we think, what about tomorrow? That's what Joseph was thinking about. What about tomorrow? My plans are ruined. I was going to marry this young lady and now I can't. What am I going to do? What are my parents going to say? How's this going to all play out? The first thing that the angel said to Joseph is, fear not. I think that's a good message. Amen? If God were to say to you, fear not, I think He does say that. Amen. In fact, I know a verse. The Bible says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You trust God, amen? You think God's able to take care of things? Fear not. He says, fear not, but it's not just that. He's specific in verse 20. He says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I got to keep reading. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Just a couple of things there. Right about the end of verse 20, I just need to remind you of something. This has never happened before. Joseph finds himself espoused to this woman who is a virgin who's going to have a child. Say, why is the virgin birth so important? Because God prophesied a virgin birth, and God always keeps His word. And folks, it's never happened before, and it will never happen since. This is the one time. It is, as Isaiah says, it is the proof or the sign that this is the Messiah. The prophecy in Isaiah was, a virgin shall be with child. It doesn't work that way. That's not something we understand. That's not something we can accept as a natural thing. And you know, in your life, sometimes God does things and you think, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It didn't happen that way before. It won't happen that way again. How can this be? Well, it can be because God said it will be. Amen? And one thing I really want to compliment Joseph on, and we don't hear a lot about Joseph in the Bible. By the time the Lord's ministry begins, about 30 years from this passage, Joseph is off the scene. And the speculation is that perhaps he had already passed away. The Bible never tells us this. But here, as he is in a position to either cause trouble or to honor God, the thing I like about Joseph is he believed what God said. God told him something that had never happened before. It's impossible. It'll never happen again. He's right in the big middle of it. And as impossible as it sounded, he believed God. Do you believe God? Say, how can God do that? I don't know, but God can do that. And all you got to do is believe. How could God save us from our sins? But he can. I like verse 21 for one particular thing. Look at verse 21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son. Now look at these next two words. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know, from other places in the Bible, that it was the man that got the right of naming the child. And the reason that word thou is so special to me is because what the angel is saying is, Joseph, you're part of God's plan. You have a place in this. You have an opportunity. You have a role to fulfill. Now, I know you hear this all the time. God has a plan for your life. And he does. And don't underestimate that. But if God has a plan for your life, then God has something for you to do, doesn't he? So that's what I like about the thou is twofold. Number one, God has included Joseph in the plan. And there's something God wants Joseph to do. He's going to name the child Jesus, and the word Jesus, the name Jesus means Jehovah saves, and the Bible explains he's going to be a savior of his people. I don't want to underestimate that, but just thinking about Joseph, here's a man that says, everything I had planned is all disrupted, but God says it's going to be okay. I believe him. God says, I have a part in this. I'm going to take that part. And praise God, it just came out the way God said it did, didn't it? And there's still trials to be experienced. But God takes care of this pretty well. We're going to have to rush to the finish here, but let's keep going. It says in verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall call and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You look at verse 22 and verse 23 and you say, okay, I know it's God's plan. Why did God do it that way? Couldn't God do it the easy way? Folks, for God, every way is the easy way. There's nothing hard. There's nothing too hard for God. Well, why did God do it this way? So we would know it was God doing it. Now follow me. This is interesting. Way back in Isaiah, 600 or so years, 600 and something years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, way back in Isaiah, we have all these detailed prophecies about the birth of Christ, even about the death of Christ. Why has it got to be so complicated? Because, folks, when God 600 years earlier said, it's going to be just like this, and then 600 years later, it's just like this, only a fool would say God didn't do that. Folks, God did it. God had a plan. It was a complicated plan. God fulfilled his plan to the very detail. Now, I want to remind you, you and I have a place in God's plan too. And don't be distressed that it seems unusual or that your plans seem to be disrupted or that it looks like everything is not going too well. Fact of the matter is, things are going just the way God wanted them to. And he even told you what he was going to do way back when, so you could know it was God doing it. Let's look at the last two verses and we'll finish up this morning. In the last two verses of chapter 1 of Matthew, the Bible says, "Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep," here's another good word, "did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him." Just stop right there. Plan that Joseph had was disrupted. God revealed to him what he needed to do, why God was doing what he was doing. But now we have to wonder, what's Joseph going to do? Folks, God's got a job for you and I. He's got a plan for you and I. But what are we going to do? Look at that again. It just jumps right out at you in verse 24. "Joseph did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." Now again, that didn't surprise God, but I have to admit, it seems to me, folks are so disinclined to obey God. Folks seem to be so good at ignoring what God said and doing what they want to do. It's refreshing to me to see somebody just listen to God. Amen? It's refreshing when a person says, "I know what God wants, I'm going to do it. It wasn't what I had planned, but I know what God wants, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to accept it." And when you step into eternity, you're going to meet Joseph. You ask him if he regrets that or not. In fact, you find any of the folks you read about in the Bible that went through things for the Lord, ask them if they regret that or not. They don't regret that. You see, it's just a simple thing. God's plan's better than our plan. God's plan's perfect. You know, you could pray this prayer, "Lord, if you don't like my plan, change it. Your plan's good. I don't know about mine." You know, we've been making plans for these events that we're going to have, our gatherings at our house on Monday and Thursday, and just all the little details and you know, what to eat and what games to play and those kind of things. I found out a long time ago, my plans are very, very frail. God's plans are perfect. So Joseph did. He performed. He did what the angel told him to do. "Took unto him his wife," and in verse 25, look at this, and we're done. "Knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now the "he" in that last phrase there is Joseph. Again, doing what God told him to do. You've heard this story 100 times. You know good and well what it's all about. And I hope, even if it is routine to you, you might just remember this morning, think of Joseph when you think of Christmas. Not unimportant, but again, not a major player, not like John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, or not like Mary, but certainly part of what God was doing. And a great deal of what we hear about Joseph is right here in Matthew. A little later on, of course, there's going to be another dream, and God's going to send him and his family down to Egypt. I think Joseph is a man we could learn a lot from. It's not just a matter of having a plan and going about your life, but it's Joseph is the man that said, "When God says change it, that's what I'm going to do." And all that happened so that our Savior could be born just the way the Bible described, so that our Savior could come and die on the cross to pay for our sins. Good time to just pause and thank God for what he's done. Amen? And to worship him. And I would encourage you to do that. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Have a brief invitation.